Bobby Bone.
Yeah. Let's do Get to Know the Bobby Bone Show, where I'll ask you a question. What's your favorite ever movie scene, Amy?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go with Dirty Dancing when he tells baby's parents, nobody puts baby in the corner.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
That's your favorite scene? Like, what does he do? Does he fight for her?
Well, it's towards the end of the movie where, yeah, they're basically, the parents do not want them to be together in the whole movie. But at the end is this big dance scene that they've been working towards. And baby's kind of in the corner. And he goes and he grabs her and he goes, nobody puts baby in the corner. And then they do this epic dance scene that's so awesome. And then the movie ends and you're like, yay.
And that was in the 80s.
Yeah, late 80s. Yeah, like 89, probably.
So I wonder, hey, Morgan, number two, you're 25. Have you ever seen Dirty Dancing?
I have. It's a really good movie.
It holds up even though it was out before you were born?
Yes. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. And Johnny, that's Patrick Swayze's character. It's a dreamboat.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Here's mine, because in college, I went to watch 8 Mile, and I was a fairly big Eminem fan. Not huge, but big enough. I liked his music. But I went and watched 8 Mile, and that final rap scene, when he battles as Rabbit, and he just goes in on himself, so the other guy has no ammo.
Oh.
I thought that was so, for a couple reasons. One, I was like, man, that's really cool. That's smart. And then two, I was like, if I do that, I can do that my whole life. Make fun of yourself, then nobody else can.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used to watch it in college, too, all the time, before we'd, like, go out, which is few and far between for me.
Up?
Yeah, we get pumped up.
Pre-party.
Yeah, here's the end of 8 Mile. It's the ending rap battle.
Everything you got to say against me. I am white. I am a punk. I do live in a trailer with my mom.
So the whole thing was, if you take the power from everybody else, they have no power. Like, take the power. And so I always thought that scene was not my favorite movie. I loved 8 Mile, though. I thought it was great.
It's a good movie?
Yeah. Oh, you've never seen 8
never
Mile?
Seen
oh,
it.
My God.
Oh, Eddie, you got to watch it. You've now been given homework of watching 8 Mile.
Why did I just do that to myself?
Because Eminem roughly plays a character based on himself named okay. B-Rabbit. Like Bunny Rabbit.
Oh, B-Rabbit.
B-Rabbit.
Okay.
And so, I mean, that's where... You know, you only get one shot. That was for that soundtrack.
Oh, he wrote that for
yeah,
this
Lose Yourself.
Movie. Okay. I'm writing it down. I got to watch it.
Yeah, that final scene, that's my favorite movie scene, is the final scene in 8 Mile.
Mm.
Not my favorite movie scene. Lunchbox, what is yours?
Ooh, go back to the Sandlot when Squints goes and fakes a drowning at the pool because he wants to make out with the hot lifeguard, Wendy Peppercorn.
Come on, Squints, you can do it. Pull through, bud.
Come on, man, come on.
Yeah, he looks pretty crappy.
Looks like a dead fish.
What?
This magic moon, he kisses her! Yeah!
Little pervert!
That's
legendary.
That is so great!
Yeah. Our favorite movie scenes. Hey, Morgan, number two, what is yours?
Mine's The Dark Knight, where the Joker gets captured. And Batman and Joker are in there talking.
Oh, like the interrogation scene.
Yes.
I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No, no. No. No, you. You complete me.
You're garbage. You kills for money.
Don't talk like one of them. You're not.
That movie was so good, The Dark Knight.
Is that Heath Ledger?
So good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
Have you seen the preview for the new Joker, anyone?
Yes.
Yes.
Doesn't it look dark?
So awesome.
So dark.
It's Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, he looks crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why didn't we think of him as a perfect Joker? He's going to be great at it.
Heath Ledger was the perfect Joker.
He was.
I mean, I thought, what was the dude in Suicide Squad? Jared Leto? I thought he was a good Joker.
I guess they're all pretty good Jokers.
Yeah, I thought the Jokers have been cast.
Yeah.
And back in the day, Jack Nicholson was the Joker.
Great Joker.
Really hasn't been a bad Joker pick.
Yeah, you're right.
Any Jokers I'm not remembering my D? That's all of them? Yeah, that's good. Eddie, finally, what is your scene here?
Oh, man. Shawshank Redemption when... Oh, is this spoiler alert?
No, it's been out for 25 years.
Okay. Okay. When they finally find out he escapes and then Red is doing the description of how he escaped.
Yeah, Red had been in jail his whole life.
Yep.
And Red's doing like the voiceover talking about how Andy escaped prison.
I love it.
In 1966... Andy Dufresne escaped from Shawshank Prison. All they found of him was a muddy set of prison clothes, a bar of soap, and an old rock hammer.
Bones, I just got chills listening to that.
By the way, Red is played by
Morgan Freeman. Ah, yeah. Oh, such a good movie.
That's a good one. Here, and not to be left out because he does love his superheroes. Mike D is from a superhero movie too. Mike D, what is your favorite movie scene of all time?
The final fight scene in the first Avengers when the Hulk's out for the first time.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't remember that.
Let's hear it. Hulk's out for the first time.
Yeah.
He's just been Bruce Banner.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Banner. Now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret, Cap. I'm always angry.
And now he's the Hulk.
Now he's the Hulk.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And who's that actor?
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Okay, that is cool.
Well, I appreciate everybody sharing their movie scenes. You had to get in a vulnerable place there.
Yeah.
No, not really.
I'm from Mike. From Mike D.
Because he knew SpongeBob was going to make fun of him when he came with the superhero movie. But oddly, Morgan number two came with the superhero movie. Nobody made fun of her.
Dark Knight. Because
yeah, I don't consider that a superhero movie.
Batman.
I understand, but like. It's totally different because I don't know.
It's not.
You have no superhero.
Yeah, I don't think it's
totally different. But when you're like, hey, man,
Avengers
I'm watching
is
the Avengers.
Just as awesome and Hulk. Like, I'm into that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not into superheroes, really.
And he comes out for the first.
No argument.
You just don't like that superhero as much, so you're hating on him. Mike D, thank you for sharing with us.
Here's the Bobby Bones Show podcast highlight segment of the day.
I do want to talk about easy jobs. And you can call us if you have a really easy job. I think that'd be pretty fantastic. 877-77-BOBBY. The reason I bring this up is because our producer Eddie was talking about how easy Lunchbox's life is. That's always a topic of discussion around here. I feel like you bring a lot to the show.
I agree. I bring a lot to the show. It's just my value is underrated. It's not, I can't quantify it with what I do. It's just my action.
I can't either, actually. I'm glad you said that. So, Eddie, why do you think Lunchbox's life is so easy?
Well, I broke it down. I mean, really, he comes in here for 5 hours, and he really just talks. Like, that doesn't take a lot of effort. Doesn't do anything more than that. And goes home, he naps, and then he goes and plays rec soccer, and then calls it a day. Maybe watches some TV in there. I'm like, that's an easy life. I'm like, dude, who has an easy life? Him. And my dog.
Oh, you think he's like your dog?
Well, you know, like, dogs just chill. And Lunchbox likes to chill.
He does like to chill. I think you're being a little unfair. How do you feel about this?
I think Eddie has a pretty easy life. His wife takes care of the kids 100%. He doesn't do anything with the kids. He goes home and takes 4-hour naps.
That's crazy.
Yeah, earlier did you not take like a 4-hour nap on Monday?
I did on Monday.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, he acts like he is so busy.
These two fight about who's the laziest. They go in the classroom and fight about who's the laziest. Raymond, you're in there.
Yeah.
They come in all the time. You're lazier than I am.
Well, because usually Eddie has videos to do, and Lunch will just be talking to him, and Eddie's like, well, how do you have all this free time? And that's usually what starts it.
Anybody has a really easy job, where it's your job and you'll admit it, call us, 877-77-BOBBY. If 10's super easy, how easy is this job to you?
Oh, 10 is super easy?
Yeah.
I'd say 6.5, 7.
Oh, come on.
You do have the life.
I mean,
I have a good life, but so are you. I mean, you don't do much. You hang around and you go talk to people around the building. You play basketball.
Eddie?
Yes.
Okay.
Why are you humoring this?
I mean, he has a point.
Basketball? That was 3 years ago.
Okay. Bobby Bones. Yeah. What do you think about carpeted bathrooms?
Not into it at all. My parents had carpeted bathroom growing up, but I think it's because it was like the 80s. I don't know. It's so weird to me.
A woman spending the weekend with her grandmother was surprised by the interior of her house. And so this was on Reddit. And so she was like, hey, I go into the bathroom and there's carpet everywhere. I want to take a shower and I was getting my clothes ready and there was carpet on the ground. Is that disgusting or not?
Yes.
Do you think it's disgusting, like, visually or, like, germy?
Just, like, water, I feel like, everywhere. I don't like it. More difficult to clean. Like, yeah. I just have flashbacks of how it felt when I would get out of the bath or the shower at my parents' house and, like, anywhere. Like, it was in their entire bathroom, like, where the toilet was, everything. I mean, they had a pretty spacious bathroom, and it was entirely carpet.
For me, it's more of germy because, as a dude, sometimes in the middle of the night, you just miss the toilet. Peeing.
Yeah.
That means there's pee in the carpet.
Yeah. Ew.
Yeah.
That
was a weird. Lunchbox, what do you think about a carpeted bathroom?
Oh, I love it. I love it because I love when I take my shoes off to rub my feet on carpet. So it is the best feeling ever.
But wet? Were your wet feet when you get out of the shower?
Have you ever done a mat there?
Yeah, a mat's different. And you can throw that in the wash, which you should. Yeah. Y'all wash those, right? Your shower mats?
Yeah, I do. But not as much as my pillows.
I shake them out.
I throw probably every 3 months.
What? You should wash it more.
My shower mat?
Yeah. Like the thing you step out on right when you get out of the shower?
You know what? I don't have a shower mat. I do put a towel down.
Oh, okay.
Now that I think about it, I don't have a shower mat.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I don't even put a towel down all the time. I just...
Get out wet?
Nope. I dry off in the shower for the most part.
Oh, see, that's interesting. That's a debate, too, that I had with a friend recently. It's like, do you dry off inside the shower or outside?
I dry off inside because I don't always have a towel to put under there. And mostly, and I don't know if you're going to think less of me after this, I only usually have about one clean towel. I'm a single guy. I keep about one towel clean, and I just kind of keep it on a one towel rotation.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't have a towel to put down, so I just dry off completely in the shower and then get out and then go fetch my underwear.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You?
I get out soaking wet.
Lunchbox?
Oh, I get out. I out of the shower. It's on the hook outside the shower. I step out, grab it, and towel off. And I don't really towel off that much. Just one little scrub, and I'm usually wet when I put my clothes on.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah. You should dry. Bobby Bones
Show. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. Let's go over and talk to Caroline in Ohio. Hi, Caroline. Good morning.
Hello. Hi, good morning.
What's happening with you?
I travel for work all the time, and even if a city doesn't have the Bobby Bones Show, I always look it up on my iHeartRadio app.
Oh, thanks. And what channel do you listen to hear it live? Because a lot of people are like, I can't find the show live.
Right now, I'm in Columbus, and it's on 94.3, but I'm actually from Nashville, so I grew up listening to you on the Big 98.
So you can find one of those stations, or you can search for the iHeart Country station on iHeartRadio, and we're live on that channel, too, wherever you are. So I appreciate that. Yeah, you're listening on the phone. You can be like Caroline and just pull up iHeartRadio. It's a free app and listen to our show live on the iHeartCountry station or whatever local station you're on. Well, I appreciate that, Caroline. Is there anything that you really love on the show that you'd like for us to do more of?
I like just like getting to know you guys. I feel like because I've been listening really since the beginning that I know all of you. I do have a question for you, though. Can I ask you?
Yeah, why not?
When you are dating people, so I love Taco Bell, similar to you.
Yeah.
And like on all my dating profiles, I put it like as a priority that like the person needs to like Taco Bell. And I was wondering if you did the same.
No. Do you want to know what my dating profile says?
Yeah, sure.
I don't think I have anything on mine. I think that's funny though. I think any of the little quirky stuff you put on there is actually attractive.
Yeah.
Mine, because I'm on this weird app. Hold on. Yeah, my dating profile, all it says... You want to see my picture, by the way, Amy?
Oh, is it new? Have you updated it?
It just says Bobby, 39, from the United States, lives in Nashville. It says, and it asks for your work. And I don't say exactly what I do, but I say talk, jokes, write books, and I'm on TV. And so what do you think about that picture? I'm smiling really big in my picture.
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't have Taco Bell or anything on there? And then you get to put a...
You should.
What? Go ahead. I should. Okay.
Oh.
It doesn't really give you a... Morgan, number two, you're on the dating apps.
Yeah.
Do you put anything quirky in yours?
I actually have a Taco Bell thing in mind, too.
You do?
Like that Taco Bell is my soul food. So if they... That typically is one that a lot of guys respond to, too.
Yeah, I would think so. The quirky, that's funny. And it's also something that someone could see and talk to you about. Instead of... Because what I'll do on these dating profiles, I have to go through and... do full detective work to find something to not throw a cliche line out there.
Yeah.
So if you like Taco Bell, it's easier for me to find that as material to kind of go in after. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it totally does. Instead of just a drop line that you do.
I'll see Morgan number two pop up on mine sometimes because there's the around you part of it, like location based.
Yeah.
And I'll see Morgan number two pop up on my dating app sometimes.
How's my dating profile look to you?
You're not on right now. You're off in the morning. I don't know.
Have to be on to show up.
Do you see me pop up on yours ever? Do you ever look at that?
Well, we kind of live around the same area, so always when I'm at home, he always pops up. I'm like, oh, hey, Bobby.
And there are like country artists that pop up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you say like pop who? Up, it's like they have to be on the app at the time to pop up.
Or have
up.
The app open.
Oh, open. Okay.
Yeah. Walk over here. I'll show you who's on. I'm not going to say
like, really? I don't know how.
No, not you, Eddie.
Oh, I was like, I'll go all the way over there.
Like, he's on.
Who's that, Amy?
Yeah.
What list?
Wait, he's on. Okay, never mind.
What?
I can't get to give it away.
He's on what? What are you going to say?
I don't.
Okay, all right. Listen, Caroline, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Sorry, we started talking without you. You prompted a conversation.
That's funny.
They even have you put a song up on your dating profile on this one that I'm on.
What's your song?
Sweet pea, apple of my eye. Na 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 na, don't know why. Aimlessly.
Cute.
Cause you're the only reason.
That's a good one.
That one, yeah. Caroline, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. And maybe you got to know us a little better right there. That's what you like, right?
Yeah, it was great. Thank you for having me.
All right, there she is. Caroline, everybody.
It's time for the good news.
Tell me something good.
When Caitlin was 3 months old, she was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis with a problem with the lungs. So about a year ago, they said, listen, you need a double lung transplant or you won't live another year. She had a fiance. She was really down, but she was like, I can do this. She moves to Dallas, gets the double lung transplant. A year later, she walks down the aisle and has her fairy tale wedding.
A double lung transplant. That's wild.
Amazing.
A double lung transplant.
Two new lungs and a husband. Yeah, wow. That's Tell Me Something Good.
That is.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Kingston, Georgia. A woman was in her Kia and she was backing it down a boat ramp because she's going to put her kayak in the water. And she looks down and a spider lands in her lap.
Oh boy, these stories.
So what does she do? She jumps out of the car.
Oh, and it keeps moving.
And so the Kia goes down into the lake.
Oh no.
That's dang.
Wow.
It's hard to judge people though for this.
She jumped out of the car.
I know.
And it... That's...
That's hard to judge someone, because if it were a spider or a snake, you just don't know how you're going
to
react.
We don't know. It's never happened to us.
I know. You would think you had to smash it first before you jump out. And
throw it in park? Anything?
Yeah.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Billy Ray Cyrus.
We're micing up Billy Ray right now, who has walked into the studio. Always so pleasant when you come around, Billy Ray. It's always good to see you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, look at this
Thank
guy.
You. Honor to be here.
What do you? So wait, what did you bring? You have a frame over there. You said you brought Johnny, so I thought you brought like your buddy.
It is my buddy. It's what? A letter from Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to step out to come in this morning. I felt like Johnny just kind of...
He wrote you this letter, huh?
He wrote me this letter, but... You remind me of Johnny. You've made a stand. No, I mean it.
Come on,
I mean
Bill,
it. You crazy. Honestly, I think Johnny would have been proud of you. You made a stand for something you believed in, and I just felt like I'm going to bring Johnny to the interview, and I put him in a truck, and he rode in with me just so he wanted to meet you, to be honest.
Do you mind if I read this to our listeners? This is a letter Johnny Cash wrote this to you. This is crazy.
Yeah, on June 12th of 92, I believe.
Okay, so it's on Johnny Cash letterhead from Hendersonville, Tennessee, where he wrote it from, June 12th, 1992. Johnny Cash writes, Billy Ray, I was very impressed recently to hear you give God the credit for your success. It's good to be reminded of where all goodness comes from. 36 years ago, I was working with Elvis and saw him take the same kind of flack you're taking now. Congratulations on the way you're handling it all. In your case, as an Elvis, the good outweighs the bad. Let them have it. I'm in your corner, Johnny Cash. That is such That's such a cool thing, Billy Ray.
All right, yeah. Thanks,
How often
man.
Do you ever look at that and go, that's Thanks. Crazy that Johnny Cash wrote me a note?
Well, it gets even crazier. One time, George Jones came out to my house and he saw the letter. And George read it and he goes, man, have you met Johnny Cash? And I said, no, but I've always wanted to. I wanted to thank him for the letter. And Jones's buddy says, well, he's down in Franklin doing a book signing right now. And Jones says, come on, let's go meet Johnny Cash. And I got in Jones's car. He drove me to meet Johnny Cash at a bookstore. And we came in and it was this magical moment when Johnny Cash saw George Jones. And Jones seeing Cash, you could just tell the respect and love these guys had for each other. It was magic. I was thinking back on it. And I remember the look in their eyes, and Johnny took a break and he came over and they like hugged each other. And I saw Johnny Cash hug George Jones.
That's crazy. And you rode in George Jones' car.
Yeah, I wrote, George Jones drove me there, and then Jones told Johnny Cash, hey, you wrote this letter to Billy Ray Cyrus, and I was out at his house, and he wanted to thank you for writing him the letter, and then I shook his hand and thanked him for the letter and let him know how much it meant to me at that time to have that. It was really a rock to lean on that Johnny Cash had written me the letter. And then June gave me the biggest hug.
I mean, the story just gets better.
Oh, yeah.
And June hugged me, and I remember it was like an extended hug. And I thought, man, I hope it's not too long, but I'm not going to let go till she lets go. She was just a wonderful, it was a great, great experience.
You mind if I play this new song real quick while you're here?
Sure.
We'll talk about it on the backside of it.
Okay.
You're here and we're in a good mood. So Chevys and Fords, and we're going to hear all about this coming up right afterward. This is new from Billy Ray Cyrus. Give me a brief setup here so people know what they're hearing.
Well, I just love a great country song. And regardless what I go through in my life, I love a lot of styles of music, a lot of diversity, but the one thing that's always constant, I'm Billy Ray Cyrus from Flatwoods, Kentucky, and I love country music, and I love a great country song. And when I heard this song, I just fell in love with it. I cut it, sang on it back in October, 6 months before Old Town Road.
Is that right?
Yeah, this was the beginning. This happened way before Old Town Road. I recorded it in the fall of last year, and it became a bridge to my record label, and just John Loba, Broken Bow, just all these people came into my life, and everything that's happening to me now kind of stems from this song. It was the beginning or a seed of something very good.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Billy Ray Cyrus.
That's the new one from Billy Ray, Chevys and Fords. We're talking about that song during the break. You're like, you love a good country song.
I love a great country song. I love a great country voice. Johnny McGuire's got that voice. It's unique. It's distinct. When you hear it, you know it's him. And there's something about his youth and that sound and that fire that he has in his voice. And then you put that against my old voice. You hear it. It's old. It's rough.
It's not old. It's
tired.
It's soulful.
This voice has been through a lot.
I was like, man, Billy Ray still got that soul in his voice.
Well, thanks. I love to sing. Making music, being in the band is really all I ever wanted to do and be. I'm just a singer-songwriter that loves being in the band. We call our band Floyd County. And people ask me, they go, well, why you call your band Floyd County? You're from Greenup County. And I say, yeah, but Floyd County was the next county over. And when I was a kid, my dad used to take me, he would drive from Greenup to Floyd County to go rabbit hunting. And I thought, man, if something's more country than Flatwoods, Kentucky, then it must really be country. So we go to Floyd County. And then in football and baseball, if we were playing Floyd County, we knew those kids were going to be tough, they were going to be country, and they were going to be ready to get it. And there was just something about Floyd County. I said, well, let's just be Floyd County. It sounds right.
And they're probably appreciative of the shout out. They're like, holy crap, can you believe the band's called Floyd County?
Yeah, I know. But people in Greenup, I don't know how they feel about it now. But, you know, just on the flip side of that, Greenup County has had a boom in tourism because there really is an old town road in Greenup County, Kentucky. And there's an old bridge that was built during the 1800s. It's a covered bridge called the Old Town Bridge. And I see pictures of it all the time. There's kids and buses and people go out to Old Town Road and get their picture made on that bridge now. So Greenup's having a little bit of a boom from this thing.
I do want to, and we'll come back a second and talk about this, but I do want to talk about like how you got involved on the very, very front side of Old Town Road.
Okay.
Like who made the call? Don't say yet, because I'm curious because I don't know the answer. Did you call Lil Nas X or did Lil Nas X call you? I just don't spoil it. You're making head movements. I don't want to know yet.
I need
to be teased through the break too.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Tell me how Old Town Road with you came to be, because I woke up one morning, we were playing the song, and all of a sudden I see you in the studio in a video. And you guys are laying down your part. So kind of talk me through the beginning of your life in this song.
Well, back it up just one hair of when, again, in October, I recorded Chevys and Fords, came in, met John Loba, Broken Bow, decided I'd been working for a year and a half on my new album, The Snake Doctor Circus, writing the songs, recording a lot of muscle shows with all these great musicians. My life was geared up for the Snake Doctor Circus, and this whole thing was meant to be kind of a revival, a festival, a celebration of music and these songs that me and my partner Don Von Tress had written. And anyway, long story short, it wasn't going to come out till May. Well, on March the 14th, I was just up having a cup of coffee in California, got an email. It was from Columbia Records reaching out in the name of Lil Nas X and wanted to know if I would take a listen to this song and would I be interested in joining him on the song? And I said, well, who is Lil Nas X and where is the song? And so it was like a link to TikTok. And so I hit the link and up comes the song and the horses. And I just like stood up and go, what can I do to it? It's already a hit. I love this. I love this song. It was like instantly it was my new favorite song. And Lil Nas X was my new favorite artist. But there was no need. There was nothing I could do to make it any better. I thought it was already a hit. And so then President of Columbia Records had sent me the email and goes, introduced himself and told me a little bit of the backstory. And then he said, you know, if you look, and then they sent me some information, Lil Nas had reached out for me on Twitter as early as December. And wow. He had sent a note when the song started getting its legs up and people were doing the dance and TikTok was kind of, it was growing. It was before he had the record deal, before the song had went completely international and gonzo. And he reached out on Twitter saying, does anyone know how I can get this song to Billy Ray Cyrus?
So he wanted you months before.
He was that much in his mind. He was thinking all this out. I gotta say, man, Lil Nas X, he gave me and really the whole world a lesson on, hey, take a look at the tools of your trade. Look what's out here for you to get your music out to an audience around the world. So on the 14th, immediately, within 10 minutes, I said yes. And they said, when can you come sing? And I loved it so much, I said, today. And yeah, and so they couldn't find an engineer. And they said, we got it set up for tomorrow. Will tomorrow work? And I said, yeah, that'll be great. It'll give me time to study. And so I went into my studio and asked Alexa to, if she would play. I had it written down on a card, Lil Nas X, Old Town Road. Alexa, play Lil Nas X, Old Town Road. Boom, she would play it. And I started writing down the words, writing down the chords. I start playing on guitar. And by the end of that day, I could not stop singing the song. And I'm still saying, what in the hell am I going to do to it? It's already a hit. Well, I went in the next day, and when I got there, they said, hey, we want you to write a verse. I go, oh, no. I said, somebody should have told you, I can't write on purpose. I have to be going through desperation and catastrophes and all this stuff has to happen to me. And then my songs just come to me. I've never written a song with an appointment. Luckily, they had this young lady, a great writer, Yazzie, was in there, and she's written a lot of rap, pop, kind of, you know, she's from that world of she just knew what to do commercially. She was gonna be my partner to write. And she just said, where do you want to start? How do you make this? I said, I don't know. She said, well, your hat's down. And I said, yeah, and I drove across town. She said, you're living like a rock star. And then she said, star? Well, I have my guitar in my hand, so naturally the only thing I'd say, you know, something about my brand new guitar. And then I don't know why, just instantly I said, baby's got a habit, diamond rings and marijuana. And she said, I like it all except the marijuana. And she said something about a Fendi sports bra. And I didn't know what that was, but I thought, hey, that sounded cool. And so we bounced it in 10 minutes, we wrote that verse. And then I got in the box and she told me to sing up. And I was gonna sing it like Nas was singing down. And I started doing that and she said, no, go, you got the range, go up there and get it. And I started doing it and I don't know, I did just a few takes of it and everybody was all jacked up going, man, this feels good. And so that was on the 15th of March. And then on the 17th of March, Columbia had heard what I did and they said, please come in and sing the opening and the chorus. Cause I hadn't done that. I just sang the new verse I wrote.
Oh, you
the
didn't
bridge.
Go in initially and do it. Going to take it. Oh, wow.
No, I didn't sing that part. I just did the new verse that I wrote and thought that's all they wanted me to do. But they said, come back in and sing the whole thing. So I came back in on the 17th of March and sang it from top to bottom. And then they said, is there anything you could do besides the hum? And so the only thing I could think of is I whistled. And when I did the whistle, then I got the note back from Nas and Keo and all of them go, the whistle's the stuff. Go whistle, whistle. And so I doubled the whistle. And so that was it. That's the way it happened.
That's it.
And then it's blown up. Were you surprised that your version of the song has kind of been the version? It's the one now.
Something inside me. Again, I don't have a lot of talent, but I do get feelings about things. And I get, just every now and then, my instincts might kick in and I'll get a feeling about something. My spirit was dancing on this song. On April the 4th, the video you saw, that was me and Nas really meeting each other for the first time. I went into the studio and we did that little thing because the record was coming out the next day. So that was on the night of the 4th. And on the morning of the 5th of April, I just remember Miley beating on my door going, Dad, you're number two. You're number two. The only person in front of you is the Jonas Brothers. And I was like, it was early in the morning. I'm like, what are you? And there's this noise coming out of my house. Like the kids, everybody's, Dad's number, going to number two. And then all of a sudden, this big roar popped up and they were all yelling, going, you just passed the Jonas Brothers. And now it's just been
number one.
A blur. What happened to Papaw was I had to go get busy. I did know that, wait a minute, you got one shot at this thing. You better go to work. And next thing I knew, I was flying to Rolling Loud, the biggest rap festival in America. I was headed to MetLife to sing with Cardi B and be at that festival and Glastonbury, England. And like, I just started, and my show dates, all of a sudden my agent's calling every day and my price is going up and the dates are coming in tenfold. I'm like, wait a minute. It's raining goodness here. You got to make hay while the sun shines. And all of a sudden, I just went to work. And it was actually really good for me. I'm kind of, you know, I feel proud now that I put my boots and my pants on and got out of the house and went to work. And it's it's been really fun. And it's like kind of the, for me to be sitting here now, that's kind of why I brought Johnny in this morning, you know, just... This is a full circle moment for me of gratitude. Johnny said to me when I met him, he had all them fans lined up and he pointed, Jones and I both stand there. He said, see, this is what country music is about. It's about these fans. And Johnny was right. And for me being here 3 decades later and still just being able to have this conversation, I'm a very grateful and humble man just to be in this moment. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what I'm going to do from here. But to be in this moment, I'm just thankful and really grateful to people like you who stood up for me and this song. You didn't have to do that. I know you was going against the grain, but you did. And I'm here to tell you thank you, and I love you for that.
Thanks, Billy Ray. Well, listen, let me say this. Billy Ray's got a record out, Snake Doctor Circus. That's the record. It's out now. The new song is Chevys and Fords. Billy Ray, I got to let you people like it. We got to get them out of here. You're big time now. Apparently, you're getting another call. It's like Jimmy Fallon or something calling you. So you got to go. But
I don't know.
I'm so happy you came.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, there
thank
he is. You. Billy Ray Cyrus, everybody.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
This kid Kobe grew up knowing his dad's dream car was a blue-green 1966 vintage Ford Mustang. And it took a little searching, but he finally found that car online. He and his brother decided to get the car and surprise his dad in a special way because they saved up for 2 years. The brother staged the car with a for sale sign on the side of the road, and they drove past it and they were like, hey, look at that car. And they even got someone to pretend to be the owner. So they were like, Dad, look at that car. That's the one you like. You should. And then they go. And so the brothers convinced their dad to stop, look at the car, and they tried to get him to take a test drive in the car. And he was like, no. And they were like, well, since you're not going to take the test drive, you just get the car. They gave him the keys. He was shocked. And then he drove off in the Mustang of his dreams, all thanks to his sons for saving
him. That is awesome.
Right?
That's such a great story. Love that.
That's awesome. That's Tell Me Something Good right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Folks,
it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, nah, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
Over to Amy with Corny. Here we go.
The morning Corny.
What do you call cheese that's all by itself?
What do you call cheese that's all by itself?
Provolone. Provolone.
Alone.
Provolone cheese.
Yeah. We like that?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay,
it's good.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know about
Tell it the next time you're at the cheese shop.
That was the morning corny.
I haven't been to the cheese shop in a while, I'll be honest.
The cheese station at the grocery store.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The Bobby Bones Show.
It's a pretty fun game. What I'll do is read you the artist's Instagram bio. You just tell me who the artist is.
Okay.
So you know when you put that about me in your Instagram bio?
Yeah.
All right. The first one's easy. Write your answers down. Amy, Lunchbox, our video producer, Eddie, write your answers down.
You got it.
This one's so easy. The bio is God's Country, out now.
I'm in.
In.
I'm in for the win.
A little softball here. Amy.
Blake Shelton.
Lunchbox.
Eric Church.
Eddie.
Blake Shelton.
It is Blake Shelton.
God's Country. I saw the light in a sunrise in back.
All right, you guys got the game now.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, right, yeah, that was an example.
Easy. That was not an example. That was the first question. Here we go. Because we only have so many questions here. Whose Instagram bio says, little but loud? It's a country music artist. This person has 1.1 million followers. And their bio says, little but loud.
In for the win.
Oh, okay. I'm changing. I'm in.
I'm in.
Amy.
Maren Morris.
Lunchbox.
She's only 5 feet tall. Maren Morris.
Eddie.
Maren Morris.
The answer is Maren Morris.
Boy, I'd be rich.
Yeah.
All right, up next, their Instagram bio says this. Husband, father, Christian. Grand Ole Opry member. Country singer, songwriter, hunter, fisherman, ACM, and iHeart Award winner.
Got it.
Sounds like mine. I'm just putting things in there so people will know I did something.
No, you're not a father.
No, but I just like write a bunch of stuff. Because nobody knows who I am. So I'm like, here's all the things that I've done. Here's my resume. Husband, father, Christian. Grand Ole Opry member. Country singer, songwriter, hunter, fisherman, ACM, and iHeart Award winner.
In for the win.
In.
This is a country music artist with 347,000 followers. Amy.
Chris Jansen.
Lunchbox.
Chris Jansen.
Eddie.
Chris Jansen.
The answer is Chris Jansen.
But he can buy me a boat.
That's crazy we all got that.
He can buy me a truck.
Really?
Well, yeah, Grand, there are Grand Ole Opry member.
Yeah.
I had to change it at the last minute.
All right, here we go. This person has 2 million followers. They write, don't try to put me in a box, and don't get mad if I post something and delete it 3 seconds later. 3 million followers.
Three or two? You said two at first.
Sorry, 2 million. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Does that make a difference?
Yeah.
It does make a difference.
Actually,
yeah, it does make a difference.
It's a million followers.
It's a lot of people.
Read it one more time.
This person has 2 million followers, country music artist. Don't try to put me in a box, and don't get mad if I post something and delete it 3 seconds later.
I don't know.
All right, I'm in.
Everybody's got 2 points right now.
I'm in for the
I'm
win.
I'm in.
Amy?
Thomas Rhett?
No.
Shoot.
Lunchbox?
Miranda Lambert?
No.
Oh, you hesitated. I thought I had it.
Eddie?
Miranda Lambert?
Yes.
What?
No, of course not. The answer is Kane Brown.
I've been wrong about a million times, but I got one thing right.
Woo!
You.
All right, we'll do one more. If it's a tie, we'll go to tiebreaker.
Okay.
Their Instagram bio reads, Disney fanatic, Delaware raised. They have 154,000 followers. Disney fanatic, Delaware raised.
In for the win.
I'm in.
Are y'all serious?
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt. Diggity.
Yeah. This is like putting it up on a T for
you. They like the way you work it. No diggity. No doubt.
Disney and Delaware, some big clues right there.
Yes. Big.
Double D's.
Think of the DD.
And you're going to go, oh.
Like I'm dumb.
You know, I don't think you're dumb.
That'd be triple D.
Wow. Delaware and Disney.
Yeah.
Delaware.
She's singing Delaware.
Oh, Hawaii, Delaware. Idaho, Illinois.
Does he have a song called that?
No. Oh, it's a he?
Maybe.
Who knows?
5 seconds, Amy. What is your answer?
Who's Yodel Boy?
Yodel Boy. Incorrect. Lunchbox.
Ah, that's Jimmy Allen.
Eddie?
Jimmy Allen.
Oh, yeah. He proposed to his fiance in Disney.
And he's, from Delaware.
Delaware.
Yeah.
Golly, I'm dumb.
We have a tie right now between Lunchbox and Eddie.
Woo!
Are you guys ready for the tiebreaker?
Let's go.
All right.
What do we do, boss?
I'm just going to give you one more.
Okay.
Buzz in if you know the answer.
Oh, right. Buzz in.
Okay. Lives in West Nashville, mayor of Lower Broadway.
How many followers?
90,000. Their Instagram bio is...
Lunchbox!
Go ahead.
Raymundo!
Hello from Instagram.
I guess technically he's a country artist, huh?
No, I didn't say country artist. I didn't say anything.
Raymundo! Man, you got me on that one.
Bang, bang, it took me a minute.
The big winner. Lunchbox the winner. There he is. Woo! There he is. Hit that song, Ray.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
And they stay there. And they stay there.
And they stay there.
Wow. That's a long one.
He's been hard up for a win.
Yeah, you needed that.
That's good.
Huh?
You needed that. I'm glad you got that. Amy, you good?
Yep, doing good. You?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Kind of getting in the groove.
Yeah.
This is the dirtiest thing. Oh, by the way, morning studio.
Morning.
Can't Thank forget you. About it. I just come in, I have all these news stories. I'm fired out of a cannon.
I was
I'm
waiting.
Ready to go. Sorry. This is the dirtiest thing in your purse or wallet. What do you think it is? Raymundo, give me a little game music, please, if you don't mind. What do you think is the dirtiest thing in your purse or wallet? Go ahead.
Your credit cards.
Lunchbox?
Your driver's license.
Oh.
Eddie, our video producer?
Money, money, money.
Ooh,
oh, cash, yeah, cash money. Everybody touches you. Oh,
a new study reveals the filthiest thing in your bag or your credit card. It's a credit card. Yeah.
Your wallet.
Got a little ahead of myself there.
Oh, man.
The research finds that the plastic cards are even germier than a door handle at McDonald's, cash, or a New York City subway pole. But I tell you, I get on these poles.
Yes.
Like on the Atlanta airport. You get on these trains. A lot of the airports have trains. You got to take different terminals. I don't touch them. I use the inside of my elbow, and I grab the pole, or I'll just brace myself and not touch anything.
Oh, yeah.
And spread my legs.
Hold your core tight.
And I'm like, I ain't touching anything in there.
I do the same thing, and then I fall over, and I'm like, I'm an idiot, and I just grab the pole.
The study gives credit and debit cards a germ score of 285. Cash is at 160. Coins is at 136. For reference, a public bathroom is at about 165, so a little more than cash.
What?
But way less than credit cards.
Are that much higher? Mm-hmm. Man, does stuff just stick to plastic better than paper or what? Because you would think money would be dirtier.
Not sure.
I'm not a
scientist. I just know that I wash my credit card about once a month.
Smart. Now I'm
That's
not.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no.
I've never washed my credit card.
Wipe these things down.
Yeah, you could actually just take a sanitizer and wipe it down. Mm-hmm. What I'll do at the house, I'll put it under the water and clean it. Because everybody touches it all the time.
Yeah.
More so, you're just keeping your own hands now than you used to. You could do our own swipe. But yeah, I saw that this morning. Wanted to wake everybody up with some positive news. Bobby Bone, come on. All right, Eddie, tell Amy what happened at your kid's school.
So a kid shows up with $3,000 in cash.
What?
How old's the kid?
A sixth grader.
12.
12, yeah. Shows up with $3,000 in cash. And what does he do with it? He gives it away to all of the students.
Oh!
But why?
Because it wasn't his. It was his parents' money. So I guess, I'm assuming there was some kind of beef between him and his parents. He found the cash. He's like, I'll get him back. I'll take their money.
Oh, you thought it was a beef? I just thought he found it and was like, I want to make friends at school.
I thought he had really cool parents and they're like, here, go make some friends.
We all have different theories.
I love it. Oh. I love that. Yeah.
So what do you know?
Just that. And then the school found out about it. So they confiscated the money. The parents were like, all right, we want that money back. So they tried to go to every individual student and try to get the money back. They only recovered $2,700 out of the $3,000. So that means that, $300 were just kind of, people were like, I'm keeping this money.
So the kid just shows up in the morning, and how does he know who to give the money to?
I guess friends first, and then people that he likes at school, just pass it out.
Did you get a note, and did your kid get any money?
Nope. It's just a story that was going around the school, and yeah, it was true.
And so, but they didn't give your kid any money?
No. My kid didn't get any money.
Because you'd be the guy that wouldn't give it back.
Watch him be the one that didn't give
back. He's like, I didn't get any money, Dad.
Shows up in a nice car.
Better money, though, than a weapon.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's nothing scary about the story. I thought it was really funny. That's why I'd share it.
How are your kids doing in school?
They're doing great. I mean, they've just started, but from what I hear, they're doing great. They're really into homework right now, which normally they aren't. But Stashira, right when I picked her up from school yesterday, she got home and she's like, okay, I'm sorry, I have to go finish my homework right now. And I'm like, wow, I love this. I'll take it.
What is she studying that she loves?
She was really into science. I think science is new for her right now.
And then what is your son like?
He doesn't like it.
Didn't like school at all?
He's trying to do homework because she will, but his homework is to where we still have to help him with homework, so it's a whole other thing. Like, he gets frustrated if he has to sit down and we try to get him to do it on his own. But even the instructions from the teacher say, you need to help him with this. And so we can't do it until we've got the time to sit down and dedicate it. So he gets frustrated that he has to wait.
Do you ever not know it and have to learn it real quick?
Yes.
Yeah.
He told me that Dad's better.
Oh.
Yeah. Dad's better at doing homework. And I said, he's what? And he says, just better. I was like, I guess he knows more than I do. Sorry.
Math.
Oh, math, for sure. Yeah. I'm always Googling
things. For sure.
Things.
Yeah, it's like me. Sure. I can't help my kids with math. I'm not allowed anymore.
I literally am Googling stuff. I'm like, how to teach someone how to divide that.
In second or third grade, right?
I don't know his grade per se, but yeah. Second, somewhere
for those
in between.
That go, Amy doesn't know her son's grade.
Yeah, I know, it sounds so weird.
He came from an orphanage and is trying to pretty rapidly catch up with his age.
Right. My kids have only been in America for a year and a half. So their school right now is a homeschool situation where they have one on one.
Until they can catch up with their age.
Until they can catch up. I'm trying to get them to go to Eddie's school.
Where
they're giving
money.
Away money.
Yeah. I want to go to Eddie's
school. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So there's this 5-year-old boy, never gotten on a diving board, so scared to jump into the deep end head first. And this 95-year-old Air Force veteran happened to be at the pool at the same time and was like, you know what, kid? I'm going to show you how it's done. There is nothing to be scared of.
Wait, 95 years old, 95.
95. Wow. Served in World War II.
Wow.
Yeah, got up on the diving board and family members had to help him get up there though, because, you know, he's elderly. So then he leaned over, did a half dive, half belly flop straight into the pool. But you know what? It gave the little boy the courage to go right behind him.
That belly flop.
So he
wasn't
did his first.
Right.
Yeah.
He probably wasn't able to fully get there. Yeah. But I bet the kid liked the effort.
Totally.
But yeah, that belly flop hurts.
Probably that. He was like, oh, that was a mistake.
Like, here we go. No. Yeah.
He was taken to the hospital.
Who was?
I'm joking.
Amy.
Okay, so there we go. Okay, thank you very much. That is your Tell Me Something Good.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Amy says that a man came up and just started tickling her son.
Mm-hmm. What on earth?
True story.
No way.
No, and my husband and I were like, well, I mean, they were talking.
Where were you?
At a restaurant. And Stevenson's super friendly, will talk to people. Next thing we know, we look over and he's like giggling with this man at the restaurant that's like, we're sitting close to the hostess stand. And he's, I guess, waiting for his table or whatever. And next thing I know, I hear Stevenson giggling, like, uncontrollably, and this man is tickling him. And I think that Ben and I, my husband and I, looked at him in such a way that we were like, what's happening? And he looked at us, he goes, I have 3 kids. Like, they love this. It's fine. I'm like, I don't care how many kids you have. That does not make it okay for you to tickle somebody else's kid. Complete stranger.
Did you say anything to him?
No. I'm saying it now.
He's not listening.
I mean, he might be. I don't know. It was so weird.
What
it
kind
was
of restaurant
so weird.
Were you in?
Kind of a nice one. I mean, like a American ticket. I mean, I don't know. Like,
not like tickle cuisine?
No. Like, let's say, I don't know how to describe restaurants, but like a piece of salmon's like, you know, $20-something, that kind. Yeah.
So what'd the guy look like? What celebrity? So I can picture it.
Older, probably 55, 60 maybe. Maybe not quite 60. 55. Balding-ish.
What celebrity?
You
can literally say anyone and we'll just picture it and move on.
George Costanza. Yeah.
Now I'm picturing George Costanza.
But a little bit taller.
Yeah, taller.
And yeah, it just was awkward. And I just wanted to let people know, like, I get that maybe you love kids and you're comfortable with kids, but...
Only do that with your kids?
Right. I mean, but literally, I don't think I could hide it from my face. I think that's why he offered that explanation of like, it's okay, I have three kids. But like, I don't care. I don't care how many kids you have. Don't touch mine.
Speaking of kids, Lunchbox got mad at his wife because she bought your kid a present.
Yeah, we had decided that we weren't going to do presents because he's one and he has toys at the house that he hadn't even used yet because they weren't age appropriate or whatever. They were too sophisticated for a 5-month-old. So she shows up from work yesterday with a present, two baby box from mom. And I'm like, excuse me, what happened to no presents? So then I look like the bad dad. Luckily, he's not going to remember, but I'm going to remember that she went behind my back and put that knife and said, you know what? I'm going to get a present. She got a present for him.
Is that why she's the favorite parent?
I mean, I don't know.
Is she the favorite parent?
Probably not. She's more the, because I'm more fun. She like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Me, I'm like, Go ahead, just do it. You'll learn, you'll hit your head, and you'll find out that you're not supposed to go in there.
In where?
Well, wherever.
Yeah, where? This Where's this baby
going? Get in the dryer, kid.
Like, I mean,
you'll learn after the first spin cycle.
Like, I let him hit his head on the toilet the other day because he went and tried to play in the toilet. And my wife's like, don't go in the bathroom. I'm like,
I mean, you probably shouldn't. Like, it's germy in there.
Well, here's the problem. I was going to the bathroom, and I had closed the door. I was sitting on the toilet, and I closed the door, and he is... He crawls over the door and he starts hitting on it. And he's laughing, but then he starts crying. So I got to open it up. And he comes in there and then he uses the bathtub to stand up and he bends over to pick something up. And he doesn't hold on to anything and he goes forward and boom, right into the side of the toilet.
I mean, what do you got? Like a
ha-ha. And he has a big old bruise right on his forehead.
That's
so
what
I mean,
you get, kid. You'll learn.
You'll learn. All right, to the dryer. He's just teaching him everything one at a time.
The Bobby Bones Show.
There was a woman in the news, and she got in trouble because she went to Sonic. And they said, okay, here's your food. Where's your money? She goes, no. We'll put that on God's tab. This is God's tab. And then she got arrested because she didn't pay the meal. So Lunchbox tried this, right?
Yeah, I went to different fast food restaurants, and I just figure that if this lady can get away with it.
Well, she didn't get away with it.
Right, she didn't get away with it, but I wanted to see if it was possible that maybe God had a tab at different restaurants that we didn't know about, so I thought I'd check it out.
I'll do the four-finger plate combo, please.
It's going to be $8.62.
I talked to the man upstairs, and he said you just put it on his tab. Mm.
Say what?
He said that I could come here, and he'd take care of it.
Yeah. You got his credit card?
No, the man upstairs.
Who is the man upstairs, $7?
That's him.
But he didn't call and tell us that he would have made you talk about it.
No good?
No, not today, baby.
Oh. All right. Thank you.
So no chicken fingers for me.
They thought you were a clown. They were like,
yeah.
Where's the credit card? All right, here's Lunchbox. Where'd you go secondly?
Breakfast establishment.
I'll do a classic oatmeal, please.
Okay, anything else?
That's it.
$3.55.
Oh, I talked to my friend G.O.D. upstairs, and he said that he could put it on his tab.
I don't think it works that way.
No, like, I had to talk. I was like, man, where can I go get some food? And he was like, go get an oatmeal, and they'll take care of you. Just tell him to put it on my tab.
I can't do that.
So you're telling me he lied to me?
I don't think he was lying. I think you had misinterpreted.
So I don't get the oatmeal?
No.
I guess I'll go have another talk with him.
Hey, good for her, too.
That's a good answer.
Because she's one, she's like, okay, this is crazy. You're a nut.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, she's like, no, I don't think he's crazy. I think you misinterpreted it. Hey, good for her, because that can't happen every day. Here's one more.
Yeah, can I get a number one?
With cheese or without?
Without cheese. How much she says?
$6.54.
I talked to the man upstairs, my friend G.O.D., and he said you guys would take heed to put it on his tab.
Can't put that on his tab.
Put it on God's tab.
Oh, yeah. He called to tell me.
So you're telling me I got it wrong?
Yep.
Sorry. Thank you.
So nobody gave you food?
No one gave me food. Two out of the three places, they laughed. Like, they laughed like it was funny.
Well, yeah, if someone comes in going, God's going to pay for this, you think it's a joke.
I mean, the first girl, she tried to hide her laughter. She tried to cover her face. The third girl, she just laughed right in my face.
Well, there you go. Not the thing to do. Lucky you didn't get the cops called on you. Because that woman got in trouble, right? They did it. And she must have stayed and just demanded. She's like, no, God's got this. all right, Lunchbox, thank you. 0 for 3. Amy, how are you?
Doing good. How about you?
Good. I think you should share your story about going to Kroger.
Okay, so I'm at the self-checkout at Kroger, and I cannot figure it out. I mean, sometimes it's tricky. There's just stuff.
You can't find the code sometimes.
Sometimes it's just
a swipe, right?
It's a hot mess. Yes. I'm like, why didn't I just wait in the line and let somebody else check me out? So I had to call the person over, like the little, attendant, I don't know, the customer service person that helps with self-checkout. And after we hung out for a while by the machine, she basically was like, you're not driving, are you? That's what she said. And I was like, excuse me? She's like, you're not driving. Are you driving? And I was like, yeah, I'm driving. But she was insinuating that she thought I had been drinking because I couldn't figure out this machine and that I shouldn't drive.
So what did she say when you said, I am driving?
Yeah.
Citizen's arrest? That's what I would have yelled.
Yeah.
Citizen's arrest!
No, I said I haven't had anything to drink. I don't know what you're talking about. And she was like, oh, I mean, she definitely was just like, okay, my bad. She didn't really care. She wasn't super apologetic or anything. But I was like, are you telling me that normal people, sober people, can't figure out this machine?
Oh, you said that?
No,
that means
you're
guilty.
In her head.
In my head.
Okay,
in my head.
Yeah, in my head. That's how I do a lot of things, too. I just say it in my head.
I do a lot of things in my head, but I just was like, is she for real? This is horrible customer service.
How old was she?
55.
Oh, okay. We're okay then. If she's younger, like 16 or you know.
And she's like, are you driving?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I felt like it was even worse because it was coming from like an experienced woman and she was concerned and being motherly. And I was like, is this that complicated to where she thinks I'm tipsy?
Amy, you're not driving after the show, are you? The Bobby Bones Show. All right, Lunchbox, what'd you go do?
Well, you have your old headphones that you wore for like 20 years. You had to retire them when they moved to the new studio. So I said, hey, if they're just laying around, they got to be worth some money. And Bobby Bones is a celebrity, so I'm going to go to the pawn shop and I'm going to get some money for him.
Well, two things. One, I've had them since I was in college. And so, since I was 18. And then two, they're not worth money. They're old and broken, but I just never change. So here we go. Here's Lunchbox. These are crappy headphones that I've had my entire life.
And when you hear these clips, there's a couple people working at the counter, so you're going to hear two voices coming in and out.
All right, Lunchbox trying to pawn my headphones, trying to sell them off.
Bobby Bones wore these for 20 years. The youngest member of the Radio Hall of Fame. He's American mentor on American Idol. He won Dancing with the Stars, and he retired them. This is like finding a Babe Ruth baseball card.
We can't pick collector items.
Maybe selling them on eBay or something like that, yes. But it's not like Pawn Stars, where they have a phone a friend kind of thing.
So I can't get $10,000 for them?
Can't get it here.
What about $1,000?
Nope.
What? Who would they call in? They call in the expert from Pawn Stars?
They'd have some kind of radio expert. I mean, they have an expert for everything on that show. They are best friends with everybody in the world.
All right, so here's clip number two. Lunchbox trying to pawn my headphones.
These are Hall of Fame headphones from Bobby Bones. Probably got some of his hair in there. And I'm wondering how much I can get for them.
Do they work?
Do they work? They got him in the Radio Hall of Fame, got him on American Idol. He won Dancing with the Stars wearing those headphones.
$1.
The youngest member of the Radio Hall of Fame. And you're going to tell me
$1. You want two?
No, I was looking at least $1,000?
No.
Your boss will think you're a hero. You sell them for double what you pay me for them.
So I buy them for $1, I sell them for $2.
So you really can't buy them?
No.
Oh, you're going to regret this decision. You know that. You're going to regret it.
There you go. So wow. We got $0 on the first offer and about $2 on the second one, which is about $2 too much on the second one. Were you expecting more?
They just don't
know. I mean, I really thought they would, because they could just put it up on their little billboard outside that says Bobby Bones headphones, and you know how many people would stop in their store? It would be worth the advertising dollars alone. I mean, I could not believe it. So I got them, and I'm going to probably put them up on eBay.
Yeah, I think that, no, you're not.
No, I got
them. Did he ask you for permission?
No, and we shouldn't move them around. I left them in the studio in one place because they're so fragile. No, I'm still using them in the other studio. Get your bones on Bobby Bones Show. Okay, we are going home, but thank you for listening. You can catch up on everything. Just search Bobby Bones Show on demand on iHeartRadio. Search Bobby Bones Show on iTunes. You can listen to the whole thing. You can listen to the Bobbycast, a show I do from my house. Just search that too. All that. Thanks for being here. We would not be able to pay our mortgages or eat our meals without you listening. Right, Amy?
That's right.
We appreciate you. Thank you. We'll see you soon. Bobby Bones.